Good morning, Mountain View. How's everybody doing? It's crazy. It's been so long since I've stood on this stage in front of all of you. But it feels good. It feels good to be here. It feels good to be live on Sunday morning. Is everybody excited about that? All right, well, Psalm 95 says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all kings. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture." Amen. So let us sing praises and thanksgivings unto the Lord for being here, being live, being in his presence this morning. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Who am I that the high You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God.
Thank you.
but only trust in Jesus' name. Sing it out, my hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. It's my righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through
this morning, He is Lord no matter what storm we're going through. It doesn't matter if it's some crazy pandemic going on. It doesn't matter if all of a sudden you can't pay the bills. It doesn't matter what storm it is, what season of life you're in. He is Lord. He is the cornerstone that holds it all together. Amen. Let's sing that again. Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord. Christ alone, cornerstone, and weak man.
Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Man, give Him praise this morning.
Capture my
touch my heart, set me free. Here I am, listening. Father, speak, here I am, everything. Search my heart, set me free. Here I am, listening. Father, speak.
Lord, that is our prayer this morning that we just saw. Here we are, Lord, we're listening for you. Everything we are, we give to you. Open our eyes, capture our hearts, light up the darkness with all that you are. God, we're listening. Speak to us. God, we love you. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat.
Amen and amen. Is that not a prayer that we can pray this morning? Thank you, my brother. Bear with us. We are adjusting to figure out how to be live again. This is all sorts of fun. Hey, take a moment with you guys. Just bow your heads. I want to pray that prayer again. I think it's that poignant to the moment. Father, speak to me. Open our eyes. Capture our heart. Light up the darkness. Father, show us the way. Help us to see. Lord, that means removing the spiritual blinders, those things that limit our faith, that which keeps us from believing you for the impossible. Father, show us all, Lord, what do we need to let go of? What is getting in the way of taking hold of all that you have for us? So right now, I just ask you, in these few moments of quiet, ask the good, good Father, what can I let go of? What's going to help me to see the world more clearly that he might work in and through you? God, thank you for revealing truth. Thank you for being willing to work through flawed people like us. God, may we continue to be beacons of light in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to admit, I got chuckling, laughing as I was getting ready to walk up here. You want to talk about demonstration of faith? I'm speaking to a microphone that without disinfectant, straight from her. We are living in faith right now. No, all joking aside, we are a family together in the Lord. We live in the same house of worship, living and doing life together, so it is a privilege and honor to do so. So excited to be live, and I got to remember that online, you are actually live stream with us this week too. So hello to our live stream family. Glad you guys are joining us from home this morning or wherever that may be. Guys, there's a couple things I just want to bring your attention to. If you're guests, we're really, really, really glad you're here this morning. Those Connect cards, maybe we forget, it's been since March. But there's those green Connect cards. They're at the exit doors as you leave. If you're a guest, please take a moment, fill one of those out, let us know you're here. If you got some information that's been changed during the pandemic, move, new email address, any way that we can help stay in touch as a family, take a moment to fill that out. And there's some really good habits we've gotten out of. One of these is these prayer cards. We're not used to being in the house together. Those prayer cards with that wood grain background, they're also in the boxes as you leave by the exit doors. Fill those out. Because I can't pray with you. Mark can't pray with you. The staff can't join with you. The life group leaders can't join together. The core ministry leaders cannot join you in prayer if we don't know how. So when things are going on, when there's medical tests you're awaiting, when there's financial concerns, write it down so we can pray with you. If you are celebrating answered prayer, write it down so we can praise God, lift the hallelujah with you. Online crew, there is an online connect card available. There is the website, mountviewcc.net/need-prayer. Online crew, let us know also how we can pray for you. It's important. That's part of doing life together. So please take a chance to fill this out as those requests are there. Again, there you go in the boxes by the doors as you leave. Another thing that can go in those boxes, there's offering envelopes. Whether you're giving through being here in person, whether you're mailing something in, whether it's online, when you give, when you worship the Father through your giving, really cool things can happen. One of those things that just is so amazing is this is now the second week we've been able to have a food distribution from our Orange campus. So the underserved children of elementary age kids at Unionville and Lightfoot Elementary, those are the two schools closest to Orange campus. We're giving out bags of food to those families, and it's reaching those elementary age kids. Some of the kids that aren't quite elementary, some of them are past, but they're still in that house and they're still in need. They're getting bags also. They're getting served. They're getting invites to upcoming Mountain View events. They're getting connected with the church. Church families loving on them. They are delivering. And the stories for the families that don't have the transportation, or some of them are actually walking through COVID right now and can't get out. So we're delivering those bags. And hearing the stories coming back of just little God moments as we're delivering these bags. And it's now the second week, so some of these homes have been delivered to are getting a little friendlier as they start to, oh, I know you. You're from that church. So when you give, thank you. Thank you for letting us be hands and feet. Thank you for helping us to meet needs. You guys are blessing so many without even realizing it. It's a privilege to be a part of that with you. So again, thank you for that. You know, just we're excited to be here. We get in here. The music's amazing. The worship's amazing. We're around loving people, and we're smiling and laughing. It's easy. It's a wonderful gift to take a break from what's been happening. But at the end of the day, I want to pray. Because there are people that are scared. There are people that are unnerved. There are people that have some real tension with what's going on socially. So let's just take a moment to pray. Because we know the God that overcomes is bigger than all of it. Father, we need to see things for what they are. We need to see this world for what it is. Yes, it's broken, but it was also a good creation. And we've been charged to care for it, Lord. And God, we recognize that there are people in this world that don't know you. They've not accepted the gift of your son, Jesus. They've not sought that forgiveness. They've not sought the new life. And everything looks really scary. Because there's no hope. There's no bigger picture. So, Father, I'm praying right now on behalf of the church. And I ask that each of you pray this with me. Lord, show us that one person in our circle that's scared. Show us that one person in our circle that is angry. That one person that's confused. God, show us how to be the light to that person. Show us how to love the person the way you love them. Show us how to forgive them the way you forgive them. Show us how to offer the hope that you gave us. How do we be your hands and feet, Lord? Take a moment, pray that, and listen. Let him speak to you. It is a privilege to call the God and creator of this universe, Father. And so in his son's precious name, in Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we are blessed with a challenging teaching, so let's get into it.
Looking forward to saying this. Good morning, Mountain View. Good morning. Are you happy to be here? Yeah. Let somebody else know around you. You don't have to touch them. God, thank you for letting us be here. For those of you who are joining us online, for those of you under the oak tree in the heat in orange, for those of you under the tent, I can't see you, but I know you're out there. With ice water, that's where if you want water, it's out there because they need it. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being. We prayed for this day. So looking forward to it. And I'm going to jump right in because, yeah, I do have something to say. I believe God gave it to me. And I hope that it speaks to you as God's been speaking to me. Here's my question for you. Does your head hurt? Does your head hurt trying to figure out cognitively everything and all the changes daily, weekly, monthly related to COVID and all the social unrest in our nation right now? When you wake up every morning, does your head still hurt from the day before trying to figure it out? It was back in early June. I have my iPad and my Bibles run there and all my teaching resources and my devotionals. And so never, it's not always the best thing to do because notifications come through. I try to get rid of all of them. But on this particular day, I'm sitting there having a quiet time and bing, right across in a little banner comes a tweet from Mark Batterson. I thought, well, he's a pastor. I'll read that one. You know, it should fit the quiet time maybe. And sure enough, I just cut and pasted it for you. It's on the big screen. But for those of you online with me, I'm going to have it here. Mark Batterson, the pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., said this. It's a sad commentary and sadder irony that Christians are often viewed as heartless. I think it's because we've engaged our culture mind first instead of heart first. Reminds me of James, the half-brother of Jesus, when he said in chapter 1, verse 22, and he said these words, he said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself." It's got to get out of your head. It's got to get into your heart. Do what it says. So then later on in June, I'm still having quiet times, listening to the Lord, processing. And then this comes up in one of my devotional thoughts. And I thought, Lord, there's a theme going on. In the one-year walk, it said this. God is interested in the motivations that guide our decisions and the thoughts that fill our minds. And I got plenty of them. But he's interested in more than a people who will think right. His desire, expressed repeatedly throughout Scripture, is for a people who will do something about what they know. And where we are in the book of Ephesians is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed over the Christians at Ephesus. It's probably a travel letter that went around to other churches as well, but it's extremely relevant for us today. And in contextualizing that, I almost said to myself, it's almost like it's a plea to God. God, you set your church willfully and intentionally in a world void of conscience, morals, and ethics. Lord, you designed your church to thrive in the middle of this fear-filled and racially charged climate. That was your choice. Lord, your church will either shine as a beacon of hope and truth and reconciliation, or in our rebellion or in our apathy, we will silently slide into the background forever to be viewed as a culturally irrelevant monument instead of the cultural changing, life-bringing force you know your church to be. And I believe, anybody else believe with me? Well, the church is a life-changing force in our culture. Anybody? Because if we don't believe that, we're never going to believe for bigger things than what we're seeing. Let me jump into Paul's prayer, and I'll show you what I mean. Paul starts off like this in Ephesians, verse 14, chapter 3. "For this reason," he said, "I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." For this reason. For what reason? If you don't know the reason, the prayer is not going to make a whole lot of sense. It's the fact that God has made every single one of you, you watching with me online, you out there in the tent, you under the oak tree, you in Duck, North Carolina, because I know you're down there enjoying the beach. and enjoy yourselves. The fact is, God has made you and me, no matter the color of our skin, no matter the genitalia that God chose before the creation of the world to give you and me, no matter the ideological or cultural framework from which we view life, the fact is this, that in Christ, and in Christ alone, you and I, according to Ephesians 2:5, you and I are being made spiritually alive in Christ despite the depravity of our sin. Anybody thankful for that? Think about it. You have been moved from death to life in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:5. Ephesians 2:9, he says, you, my precious children, no matter the color of your skin, no matter what language you teach, he says, you are my workmanship, created to do good works prepared in advance for you to do. That's Ephesians 2:9. Ephesians 2:19, he says that you are a saint in God's household. How many of you have been called a saint lately? That's who you are in Christ. That's what he's done for you. But the beauty of it is hidden in Ephesians 2:22, when those are things we've studied earlier, when God reminded every single one of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ, you are being built together into a dwelling place of God. Think about that. You're being built together into a dwelling place of God. And I ask you, it doesn't matter what color of your skin, what language you speak, think about this. If these things are true, spiritually alive in Christ, a saint, God's workmanship, I'm being built together into a dwelling place of God, tell me, if those things be true for his church, where is there a place for unfounded arrogance or pride for my type of people? Where's there a place for that? Now, Satan, he loves to tell you and me who we are. He loves to do all the derogatory comments, all the things that might have been said to you by your peers or your parents growing up. He'll use them. The put-downs are out there. We hear things from our parents. We hear things from our press. They discourage, they depress, they distract. He loves to tell you who you are. But Paul, in this prayer, for this reason, prays for you. He prays for the church. He says, no, you, my friends, are in Christ, the dwelling place of God. Know this reality. Use this grace status for which you have been given to make a difference in this pathogen-plagued and racially divided world. For this reason, he said, we pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. That word right there, it wouldn't have made a whole lot of difference to me because we run by words. But right now, culturally, God does things intentionally, and our culture kneels for everything. And that caught my attention. This is in the prayer. And I asked myself, Lord, this is a culture of kneeling. Right now, right or wrong, indifferent. The gestures used by those protesting racial injustice. Okay. But depending on when you do it and how you do it, some people are offended by that because it polarizes and it seems as unpatriotic or an affront to American troops and the flag. We got people, as you've been watching the news, I didn't understand it, I just watched it, who are kneeling in the streets washing the feet of protesters in some secular religious symbol of repentance. And right or wrong or indifferent, we have our United States senators who are awkwardly kneeling in some move of solidarity with people of African heritage. We're a culture of kneeling. And then I hear one police officer stands beside a squad car. And it was one of the articles I've read. He said, kneel for no one but God. And so why do I bring it up? What's the motive? What's the motive of the church to kneel? Paul said, when you understand the magnitude of your depravity, of your sin, that God willfully chose to forgive you for, when you finally come to the place where you are desperately in need of a Savior and you reach out to Jesus Christ for rescue and you recognize what you've been freed from, and then and only then will you bend your will, if not your knee, to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Word of God say? That when Jesus returns, every knee will what? Bow. There will be a whole lot of kneeling going on that day, but for one purpose and one purpose alone. Church, let's not get distracted. Several weeks ago here in our community, we had an event for racial reconciliation. Very powerful. There in the park over here where the sports complex. And when Pastor Brian, one of the pastors of one of our local churches, challenged those who are believers in Jesus Christ to remember what God has done for them and to take that posture of humility before him. And he modeled there on the stage all over that field. Now, I didn't go running around taking these pictures. I was actually praying, but I did have a friend who I graduated high school with who was taking pictures and sent them on Facebook. African-Americans, Caucasians, whites, Asians, bowing their knee, police officers, bowing their knee before the Father. I was so moved by these pictures to know what God was doing in our midst, to the point when I got to one of the pictures, this one, I was so captivated by African-American, Caucasian. Did they know each other? I have no idea. Bow before the Father in a spirit of humility because they knew from which they had been saved and they were praying for our community. So inspired by that. For the word of God says, I kneel before the Father from whom every family and in heaven and on earth derives its name. Where do we get our name from? Today we hear and we hold up placards. Black lives matter. All lives matter. Blue lives matter. And we got placards for everything. Most of the time, we're simply espousing a tribalism of sorts. It's something our Western culture loves to do because each and every one of us, whether we like to believe it or not, we love to identify with very specific, unique groups of people. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. That's something we feel safe and comfortable in. We choose churches that way. We choose groups that way. But Paul knew, in reality, that there were only two groups that matter, ultimately matter. There were only two spiritual fatherhoods, God's and Satan's. For those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, God is your father. For those who reject Jesus Christ, Satan's your father. That offends somebody. But Paul, when he prayed this, he recognized this because he realized that every family, when he said every family in heaven and earth derives its name, he's speaking to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Church, why do I bring it up? In the midst of everything that's going on, I'm begging you as you read and contemplate and meditate on this extremely powerful prayer, don't get distracted from our mission. Please, don't get distracted from our mission. The only kneeling that ultimately matters is the kneeling that occurs when you recognize you're a sinner in desperate need of rescue. And I pray, as I said before, you will ultimately bend your will, if not your knee, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then and only then to become part of this unified family of God. And God says something about his family. God says, this family, where these are my children who profess faith in Jesus Christ, of all colors and creeds and tribes, I'll provide for my family. And boy, does he ever. For the word of God says this, remember? Look at the scripture again. Ephesians. Yes, there it is. Ephesians 3:16. Now remember, tie it together. I'll read it again. I kneel before the Father from whom every family and on heaven and earth derives its name, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This is not irrelevant to anybody sitting in this room. You think about this for a moment. I am strengthened with a power that is not intrinsic to my flesh. Now, consider for a moment this riches. Consider someone who's very wealthy for a moment. Very wealthy. I thought of a few of them. Did some research on a couple of them. I picked Bill Gates. I said, according to the internet, who can believe that, right? But never know. April 2020, he's estimated worth is $102 billion. Pretty wealthy. If Mr. Gates were to give you a check for $10,000 to use however you want, what would you say to him? First service said, thank you. That's exactly what I would say. Thank you. If he saw a need and knew a need that you had in your ministry, and he wrote you a check for $100. Now, if he gave you a check for $10,000, that's out of his riches. If he would write you a check for $100 million, that is according to his riches. You think about this. I did this intentionally. The church itself, fathered by God himself, says, I will richly provide for you a strength and a power out of the glorious riches and according to the glorious riches of God. Can anybody fathom the glorious riches of God? And we feel, oh, I don't know if I can make a difference. Are you kidding me? What he has given us. Right now as a church, we're half capacity. We're socially distant and we're meeting online, face to face and under tents and trees. But according to God, his incalculable riches of God have been given us in power in our inner man. There's a power inside of you if you're in Christ. There's a power inside of you at home on vacation right now that we forget about. We feel like we can't make a difference when all this big stuff is going on around us. We're the church of Jesus Christ. And his power is infusing through us that God can bring about the change he's so desired. All he's asking from you and me. Lord, how do you want to use me as a catalytic agent to bring about the change you already see? He's not asking you to bring about the change. How do you want to use me? You're in this room, 50 years old, 60 years old, 16 years old, doesn't matter. How do you want to use me as a catalytic agent to bring about the change you already see? I think about this power. Usually we look to our governments to take care of everything. That's not always a healthy thing. The White House, at any moment, could call on the military might and power of the United States military to quell unrest anywhere in the world if they so choose. All 50 governors, if they willingly and were willing to do so, could call on the power and the might of the National Guard to quell social unrest in our streets if they would choose to do so. But then I think about the church. The church. This group of people, remember, you're being birthed together into this bond, this body of believers, blacks and whites and Hispanics and Asians and Africans and Europeans, Malaysians, Native Americans, Middle Easterns, Jews, and the list could go on and on, are filled with the power of God to stand united as one. We, the church, can tame social disorder, quell racial unrest, but that's not all we do. What are we called to? What's our mission? We bring hope. We bring hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, into the cultural conversation. We model social justice and cultural unity to the point when people look at us and look at what happens through us to go, there's something to their God. And what better time in our culture right now when everything is flipped upside down for the church to stand socially distanced and masked up if necessary to be about by our Father's work. Amen? So the question I've been asking myself as I've been chewing through this prayer was, Lord, am I a part of the answer to Paul's prayer? You really, before you say yes too quickly, think about it. Read this prayer and marinate on it. And ask God, Lord, right now, the way I'm living, what I'm doing, how I'm praying, am I a part of the answer to this prayer? How do I view people? Right now, be honest with yourself. How do you view people with a little more, a little less melanin in their skin? Just be honest with yourself. God already knows our hearts. How do we view people that are different than us? I'm sure it's okay for your kids to relate to other kids, maybe not like them, but what if your daughter came home and said, I want to date a man of a different melanin in their skin? How are you going to react then? How do we talk to someone behind their backs when they have a different ideology or because we're so close to a national election? How do we talk about them behind their backs when they come from a different political persuasion? I'm going somewhere with this. Finally, I ask myself the question, am I simply living every day to get everything out of this world I possibly can? Or am I living every day as a living sacrifice before God, asking, Lord, what changes do you want to bring into this world through me? What are you praying? Evaluate your prayer times. Why do I share this? Because that power was given to his church for a purpose. Not just to say, we're strong, but we don't do anything. This is what he said, so that, here comes the scripture, you've been given this power so that. It's always a bridge in scripture. Always see so that as a bridge. So you always have to go back and read what came before to understand what comes next. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, church, of every nationality, creed, and color, may be rooted and grounded in love. His love, not this love from the flesh. May have strength to comprehend. Up here, now my eyes are really going to hurt. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. We just can't fathom it up here. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Of all the organizations, of all the cultural icons, folks, the church, we're called to be the ones that are rooted and grounded in love. The church, we can make a difference. And we are making a difference. But only when we're filled with the fullness of God, because what's the alternative? Full of yourself. Church only has one or two options, two placards, full of God and full of self. And I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about me. And you need to be asking, I need to talk about myself first before I look at somebody else. Lord, if I'm going to make a difference, I'm going to have to be full of you. Because why is there injustice in the world? Go beyond the platitudes and the opinions. Get into the root of Scripture. Why are there injustices? Why are there inequalities? Why is there a lack of freedom for millions around the world? Why? Because millions and millions of people are living with hearts where Jesus Christ does not dwell at all. And for Christians, there are many of us in the moments and seasons of our life where Christ is in us, but he's not reigning on our hearts. He's been relegated to the corner. And we're full of ourselves once again. So we got millions and millions of people whose hearts are entrenched and ingrained with perversion, pride, and selfishness. For me, inequality has nothing to do with skin color. It's a matter of heart color. One colored with lies and deceit and dishonesty from Father Satan. Let me be honest with you. It's always a good thing for a pastor to say, right? Let me just be honest. Stuff I'm lying the rest of the time. It makes no sense to even say that phrase. Sorry. I can be honest and say this, though. I've spent more time with our African-American brothers and sisters and Hispanic pastors in this area in the last 3 months than I have in the last 10 years combined. Sad. Beautiful now. We have had some amazing, amazing men. Some guy captured this. Eric Kalinga captured this picture. I didn't know he was taking it. And these are just great, great men. That's just some of them. And they have so much to offer and so much to give, and they're so smart. And when you shut your mouth and listen for a while, you gain insight you didn't have before. And I recognize together we're fellowshipping, we're praying, we're working through injustice conversations. Meetings are happening this week. Things are being planned for July and August. Why do I know that the church can make a difference? Because Jesus Christ is the head of his church. A couple of weeks ago, after a time of prayer, I said, Lord, I knew you were calling me to go to the Black Lives protest. But I knew in my heart I had to be able to say to every one of my brothers there, I can't walk with you, but I stand with you. Stand with you for racial equality and injustice, because they have root issues of pride and arrogance that need to be solved in all the hearts and lives of people. As that group was gathering, it was about 10 minutes before it was beginning, the pastors, we just talked among ourselves and we walked over by the creek down at Yalmetto Park. Music's blaring out of the pavilion. People are joining together. Signs are up. 2A group is there. AR-15s wrapped around their shoulder. A little dicey for a bit. Pastors, we just go over to the creek and we just pray. And let me tell you, when you get together with some Hispanic and African American brothers, that ain't going to be up to your Heavenly Father. Ain't going to be any of that going on. Those prayers were loud and they were powerful, and we were calling down heaven upon that part. Halfway through that prayer time, and I'm so inspired by the prayers, I'm listening, but suddenly I notice something. I hear something. Or it's what I don't hear that makes a difference. I don't hear the music anymore. And maybe I'm not spiritual enough, but I couldn't help myself. I had to look. So when I look around, something shocks me. I notice suddenly that they've turned the music off, and no longer are the program organizers in the pavilion. They're now standing side by side with pastors. Protesters have moved from the park and surrounded the pastors that were praying. And there are protesters and police officers standing side by side, some out of faith, mostly probably out of mutual respect. I was floored. And after that prayer time was over, when that last amen hit before the protest ever started, from that whole group of people, cheers and hoops came from that group. You know what I saw in that moment? Go back to Ephesians 3 for a second. I saw the far more abundantly than all I could ask or think. The Lord in that moment spoke into my spirit and said, remember, Mark, when my church, filled with my power, lifts up my name in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, what does the scripture say? I will draw all men unto myself. And I witnessed that in the park before the protest ever started. After it was over, protest organizers spoke to Cheat Nut Key, Captain Tim, and said to him, we've been mocked and spit on pepper sprayed in Richmond and in D.C. But they looked at Tim and said, I didn't even hear a cuss word in Culpeper. God is moving and working through his people. I believe that we are living the favor of prayers that have been prayed for generations over this town. And maybe where you're from as well. But what are we doing for the next generation? What are we doing for now? If we think we can do and move in our flesh, we can. Let me ask this. I'll close with this. Are we going to let social distancing stop the church? Think about that. Really? We're going to let social distancing stop the all-powerful church of God. Are we going to let a political ideology bludgeon his church into silence about what is true, noble, and right? Are we going to allow the color of our skin and what others say we should think and feel, but being white or black or Hispanic, dictate our decision-making and responses on Facebook or in face-to-face conversations? Really? I'm really going to let somebody else tell me how I should feel when this right here tells me who I am. Church, if God's your father, no matter the amount of melanin in your skin, you and I are being built together into the dwelling place of God by the Spirit. This is the way I want to close this out together. I ask you, are you praying impossible prayers for your community, wherever you live? I'm asking, honestly. You don't have to tell me, but I want you to think about it. Teenagers, doesn't matter what age you are you praying impossible prayers when you watch the news, when you see the hatred? My daughter calls me up and says, Daddy, I'm at a gas station, and these two men started throwing things at my car. And she's angry. What do I say? How do I respond to bring her, not to ignore her emotions, but to bring her above them? Do we pray impossible prayers over our community? Here's what we ask you to do. I believe that we don't expect the impossible, because we don't pray the impossible. We don't pray the impossible because sometimes we're not really operating in God. We're operating in self, and I certainly can't do anything about it, so I don't believe anybody can do the impossible. But God says, I'll richly bless my church and fill it and infuse it with power from on high. Do we believe in that power? I believe in it. I pray you will too. So right now I'm asking God in Jesus' name, I'm praying that your church, Lord, we would confess our sin, Lord God. If there is arrogance and there is pride in our spirit, any way, shape, or form, if it was brought up that way, or somehow we believe in our hearts that we are intrinsically more valuable simply because of the color of our skin, Lord, is a lie from the pit of hell. May we renounce it right here or online or under the oak tree or under the tent or in duck, wherever we're at right now. May we renounce that sin and remind, Lord, ourselves and our spirit, Lord, that we, your creation, are the pinnacle of all your creation. And you sent your son to die for every single one of us because every single one of us were level at the foot of the cross. Father, as a church, we're asking right now that you would use us. You're in this room, you're 15 years old. You're 50 years old. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you can pray with me right now. God, make me a catalytic, transforming agent to bring about the desired outcome in my community, my place of work that you desire. It may simply be one conversation this week. Maybe something God has laid on your heart that he wants you to do, something he wants you to write, something he wants you to say. Maybe it's something he simply wants you to pray differently than you've been praying before. Father, I ask your spirit to move upon this church, Mountain View. Thank you for letting us open our doors. Thank you for letting us have technology to stream out to the world. But Lord, we just don't want to think about these things. We want to do something about what we've thought. So now, Lord God, as living sacrifices, we commit and rededicate ourselves to you. We leave this place today with a new perspective, a new prayer, believing you for the impossible. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. May the Lord richly bless each and every one of you today. Thank you for taking the risk of coming out. Thank you for joining us online. God bless you this week. Be the church for your community. God bless.